Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Listening to Cougar Sports with Ben Crennel. And it's time for Cruton the Cougars. An inside look at the latest news on the recruiting trail surrounding Cougar athletics.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Crittle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic. WasatchMedicalClinic.com studio. Stop living with ED. Live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic. WasatchMedicalClinic.com. It is time for a Cruton the Cougar segment. Darnell Dixon is by my side of the Daily Herald, the Daily Heraldian. Sound the trumpets. You don't have to, but sometimes I like to sound the trumpets. You know what I mean? Gavin Lee on the social, Bryce Larson behind the glass. This segment is going to be brought to you by Dental Pros of Utah. DentalProsOfUtah.com. If you've been told you need a filling, crown, root canal, get a second opinion. At Dental Pros of Utah and American Fork, they utilize the best biomimetic techniques, minimally invasive techniques, to rebuild your teeth layer by layer so you don't have to settle for the fake teeth later on in life. Choose biomimetics. Check out the Google reviews. Dental Pros of Utah, going to take care of you, going to take care of your teeth for the long haul. All right, let's get out to the hotline. Welcome in my man, Casey Lundquist, BYU Sports Illustrated. What's up, Casey?
What's up, Ben? How are you doing?
Good, man. Give me some updates. Give me updates on the Lundquist family, first and foremost. You guys built a new house not too long ago. I think you got some chitlins now. How's everything going with the fam?
Yeah, things are going really well. We're getting settled. It's really good to be in a new house. It took a while to get there, but it's really nice. My daughter is almost a year and a half old, so she's getting into some fun stages. So all is well. It's a little cold outside. It'd be a little more fun if we could get outdoors, but it's been a cold winter, but good for the skiers, I guess. They've been happy this year. So
they definitely haven't got the moisture.
Yeah, they did. Those prayers did work. Moisture prayers were heard.
Give me your thoughts. A week ago or so, I put out a poll. I said, how has BYU fared in the transfer portal? Has it been a net negative, net positive, or a neutral? Right, and I listed off all of the prospects that they've added. I omitted Jake Retzliff. I added him, and also Crew Wakely. You can add him to the mix as well from Utah State at safety. You lost a number of guys. I don't count the NFL guys. They're moving on to the NFL. Just pure transfer portal attrition, and I do count junior college transfers in that transfer portal kind of roundup. So, give me your thoughts: net neutral, net positive, or where are you at?
Yeah, I definitely think it started out as net negative, especially the first two or three weeks after the season. BYU definitely took their lumps. They lost a lot of guys that would have contributed in 23 and in beyond, specifically guys like Logan Fano and Tate Romney. So I think that was BYU had a lot of ground to make up from the beginning. I do believe that they've made up ground to where it's net neutral, and I think we're an addition away or two from becoming a net positive. The Barrington brothers, those were big losses. I think BYU has neutralized those with Paul Miley and Ian Fitzgerald and Waylon Lopuaho. I think you lose a starting caliber cornerback in Gabe Judy Lally, and then you gain another in Eddie Heckard, and And all due respect to Gabe Giudivalli, I think he's a really good player, but mm-hmm. I think Eddie Heckert is as good as any BYU cornerback's had in the last 15 or 20 years. I think he's really, really good. Mm-hmm. So I think most importantly, though, BYU has addressed its biggest needs in the transfer portal. And I would say, obviously, quarterback, running back, but if we're including the JUCO ranks, BYU potentially has found their solution for the next 3 years at quarterback in this cycle. You know, who knows how it will turn out, but if that's the case, then I think this has definitely been a net positive for BYU. You still have time to recuperate the losses of guys like Tate Romney and Logan Fano with your high school signing classes and transfer portal, maybe not even this year, but in years to come. So I would say they're neutral now, and they're one playmaker away from it being a positive. But most importantly is BYU has filled needs, and that has been critically important to the 2023 season. You had to have a running back. You found one. You had to have a quarterback. You found one. You had to get more help along the offensive line. Check mark. BYU needed different types of players to fit the scheme that Jay Hill's going to run on defense. You found an edge rusher in Isaiah Bogna. You found a true nose tackle in Jackson Cravens. There's just a lot of needs that have been met. And I think, you know, BYU is not used to losing as much as they did this year, but I do think that they've made it back to neutral territory.
Love it, man. I needed it, right? I knew they'd bounce back. I think Rakoto 10, Jeff Hansen did a little analysis on this on snaps, just like experience of transfer portal players that left and transfer portal players coming in. Wasn't there a disparity of, there was an increase in snaps and experience in live bullet college football games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I think he put that on Twitter, or maybe it was an article, but BYU did add more NCAA snaps than it lost through the transfer portal. So that's definitely worth noting. You know, guys like Jackson Cravens, Paul Miley, Isaiah Bogna, and Eddie Heckert, those are all seniors coming onto the roster that are immediate starters, in my opinion. And that kind of experience will go a long way for a team who's going to be transitioning to a Power 5 conference and it is potentially undergoing a lot of turnover from last year, not only on the roster, but then you're running a total new scheme on defense. So I think the addition of a guy like Eddie Heckert, who has worked under Jay Hill before, and he believes he's an NFL guy. I believe he's an NFL guy, and the scouts just want him to prove it at the Power 5 level. So I think the additions of those veteran guys is really, really big, and I think it does change the expectations for this season. I think before you're looking at, you know, the goal is if BYU can just make a bowl game the first year in the Big 12, I think that's now changed to I expect them to make a bowl game. I expect them to get to 6 wins, and we'll see how it turns out. They definitely need to stay healthy, but a lot of needs have been addressed.
Casey Lundquist, BYU Sports Illustrated here on ESPN 960. I want to throw a stat at you real quick, and then we'll pivot back to recruiting. I'm of the belief that the quarterback factory is alive and well, and that it's been reinvigorated. There's a resurgence of it. I was looking at all the quarterbacks, right, over the long, illustrious history. Virgil Carter, Gary Shiedy, Gifford Nielsen. The 70s were lively, right? Four quarterbacks going to the NFL during that time. Or three, excuse me. Gary Shiedy got injured, but what a tremendous talent he was. Steve Young, Robbie Bosco, Steve Lindsley even, Steve Young, Robbie Bosco, Bob Jensen, Sean Covey, Ty Detmers, John Walsh, Steve Sarkisian, Kevin Federick, Brandon Doman, John Beck, Max Hall. The 2000s were good to us. We've had a little bit of, there was a little bit of a dip, but then we got Taysom, Zach, Jaron. Shoot, Keaton could be the next guy. Is the quarterback factory alive and well in your opinion?
Yeah, I do believe it is. I think we're coming off the best three-year stretch of quarterback play in the independence era, where we did see some production drop off. I actually wrote about this in an article a little bit, that I do believe Aaron Roderick saw firsthand how Lavelle Edwards created a quarterback factory. It was not to have a four-year starter to four-year starter. He really worked best under the model where you had a more experienced player playing for two or three years while one or two quarterbacks learned the ropes underneath them. And then when their turn came, they took over and production remained really high. It's exactly what happened with Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall. By the time Jaren Hall was a full-time starter, he had, you know, two or three years in the program, and BYU's offense hardly skipped a beat when he filled in. And I think what we're seeing is a pseudo old school model that Aaron Roderick is deploying, but using the transfer portal. He's gone from Zach to Jaren, and instead of dropping off and trying to go back to, you know, a true freshman quarterback or a true sophomore quarterback, he's dipping into the transfer portal for 1 year to get arguably one of the most experienced quarterbacks in college football to run the offense next year, while a guy like Jake Retzlaff or Cade Fennigan is underneath him learning the ropes and becoming a better quarterback, so that when Slovis graduates, they can then compete for the starting job. I think the book has been written in BYU history of how to have that quarterback factory. You go 2 or 3 years with one quarterback, from Steve Young to Robbie Bosco. Those transitions were seamless, because you weren't counting on a guy to step in as a true freshman and produce right away. I think if BYU is able to transition from Jaren Hall to Keaton Slovis and then to another quarterback after him, then undoubtedly the quarterback factory is up and running as smoothly as it used to in the glory days. The stats might not be as gaudy because you have a completely different era of college football. Teams know how to defend the pass much better. But in terms of efficiency and scoring touchdowns and taking care of the football, absolutely. The factory would officially be back.
Love that, man. Love that perspective. Yeah, I was looking at stats today. I was like, you know, I have this this thought in mind. I'm like, I wonder what the touchdown interception ratio has been under Aaron Roderick since he's been the quarterback passing game coordinator OC. This is since 2018. So Tanner Mangum, 5 touchdowns to 4 INTs. Zach Wilson, 56 touchdowns to 15 INTs. Baylor Romney, 14 touchdowns to 3 INTs. Jaren Hall, 52 touchdowns to 11 INTs. Total 127 touchdowns, 33 INTs. That's a 4-to-1 ratio. Max just joined us, Max Hall. He said, Doman always taught me 4-to-1, 4-to-1 is key. You do that, you're winning football games, you're producing high-level quarterbacks. That's what Aaron Roderick has done.
Yeah, I would bet. We'd have to go back and look at numbers, but I don't know if BYU's had a 4-to-1 ratio over such a long stretch, maybe ever. Like, BYU threw for a ton of yards and a ton of touchdowns back in the day, but they also threw a ton of picks. Like, how many interceptions did Ty Detmer have when he won the Heisman? It was, yeah, you know, it was in the 20s. So he threw for a record amount of yards and a lot of touchdowns, but they also gambled a lot and threw a lot of interceptions. So the level of efficiency that BYU's offense has been able to sustain over the last 3 seasons is really impressive, especially considering their recruiting ranking. And if you factor in maybe the elevated talent level that they'll be able to get now in a Power 5 conference, it's hard not to feel bullish on the BYU offense, regardless of whether we know who is going to be the quarterback or not. Because you name the name, whether it's Zach Wilson, Jaren Hall, Baylor Romney, Soljay Maiava-Peters for a bowl game, whoever has stepped in and run the offense, I think Aaron Roderick has proven that he will find their talents and their strengths and design an offensive game plan around that, and it's effective. You know, BYU hardly threw the ball against SMU, but they won the game because Aaron Rodgers knew exactly how to use Soljay's skill set.
Yeah, I like that breakdown. Casey Lundquist here on ESPN 960. Recruiting the Cougars. Let's get back to it. What have you been writing about at BYU Sports Illustrated that we can highlight on the show, Casey?
Yeah, there's a few different things. I've chatted with a few of those players that were on official visits last week, specifically Prince Zombo, and then there's Kevin Doe out of East High School. I also just broke down a list of players that you should keep your eye on over the next week as we approach signing day. The majority are PWO guys that you should watch, but there still are some scholarship guys out there that BYU is pursuing. I think the big name still out there is LJ Martin, the running back out of Texas. Mm. He reminds me so much, his film reminds me so much of Jaden Ott, who BYU recruited in the last class, who picked Cal and showed up and had one of the most successful seasons of a Pac-12 true freshman running back. So I think he's going to be really good wherever he ends up. And he's so good that I think if he should sign with BYU a week from now, he has the ability to immediately crack the rotation as a true freshman, which is something that we really haven't seen out of a BYU running back in quite some time.
I like that take. LJ Martin, the former Stanford commit, he's a big back. As far as his skill set, his athleticism is concerned, you mentioned Jaden Ott. I like that comparison. Jaden was a productive running back, I think, this past season. And so LJ Martin. So what would the running back room look like with LJ Martin in the room?
Yeah, you'd have Aiden Robbins, obviously, UNLV transfer. You'd factor in the guys that are returning in Hinkley Ropati. You'd have who am I forgetting off the top of my head?
Well, Miles Davis.
Miles Davis. Yep. Mason Fakahua would return as well. He saw a little bit of action this last season, but really you're replacing the lion's share of your production with the graduation of Chris Brooks and Pini Katoa. So you really need two players that can come in and produce right away. Aiden Robbins is obviously one of those guys. He just ran for 1,000 yards. He's a big, big back. I think he can be really good in BYU's zone running scheme. And then I think LJ Martin is so talented that he could come in and challenge a guy like Hinkley or a guy like Miles for that. You know, maybe it's not even the backup spot because BYU usually rotates two running backs. It would be probably your 1A and your 1B spot that's open. And I think he could be in the rotation, you know, by week two or week three.
I like it. Well, that's a good breakdown. Casey Lundquist here on ESPN 960 discussing some recruiting. 10 BYU recruits to monitor before national signing day, and LJ Martin definitely on the list. Big time prospect running back that can make an impact on this roster next season. Now break down a little bit more the defensive lineman that BYU could add in this recruiting roundup, this recruiting class, because most BYU fans are wondering, okay, what does this defensive front look like this next year? Because if there was one weakness, I think they're pointing at that specifically.
Yeah, certainly. One of the most coveted prospects still out there that BYU is trying to bring in is Tim Few standout Moteaki Monga. He's had a BYU offer for quite a while. He's got a few other offers that he could choose from. He's got some Group of Five offers, but he's just a really, really big frame. He can still add weight, but he moves so well, and he moves kind of like a freaky athlete. And I think he's mission bound, but he could factor into the future for BYU. And then you have the trio of Snow College transfers that BYU offered all on the same day. I'm curious to see if they can bring in one or maybe even multiple of those Snow College transfers that all worked with Jan Jorgensen when he was at Snow College. And I think all three of those guys would likely just have to come as walk-ons because scholarships are so tight, specifically along the defensive line. But David Latu is a name that stands out to me. He's got other offers from the likes of Washington State and Utah State. And then there's Stone Molitalo as well, who's a Sky Ridge standout just a few years ago, who's actually a BYU recruit back then. He turned down some Group of Five offers and ended up at Snow College. So I think in terms of your immediate impact guys, they're probably those guys that you've already added in the transfer portal. I think Jackson Cravens is a day one starter. I think Bogna is as well, somewhere on the edge, whether it's a defensive end or outside linebacker. I think we'll find that out probably during the spring. But as far as interior goes, if you're just looking to add bodies, it would definitely be those three Snow College transfers.
Can you dig it, baby? Can you dig it? I appreciate it, Casey. What's the best way to support you and what you're doing, Casey?
Yeah, just check us out online. It's you can find us at SIBYU. It's probably the quickest and easiest way to find what we're doing, but that's the best way.
Appreciate you, Casey. God bless you, your family. Glad everything is well in your world.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a great day.
There you go, Casey Lundquist. Double D, any thoughts, any commentary, any follow-up?
Yeah, you have a bunch of BYU fans that are sitting around waiting for the Big 12 schedule to come out.
That's all they care about right now.
That's all they care about right now. But they also care about putting this team together. They care about how the pieces fit together. They care about who's in the various rooms, the quarterback room, the defensive line room, all that stuff. And we will probably have more answers in the next month or so complete so we can start looking at what those areas look like and if BYU made an improvement, like you talked about, net positive, net negative. It's going to be difficult to tell until they actually get in games, but you feel better about it because most of the guys in the transfer portal that are coming in have plenty of experience, been playing college football, so you feel good about them being able to step in and make a contribution earlier than later.
No doubt about it. We're going to go to break. Don't go anywhere. Lots to get to still on a Wednesday afternoon. Double D by my side. Loved Casey Lundquist and Max Hall interviews. They were tremendous. They were marvelous. Coming up next, college football on Cougar Sports. NIL, student athlete rights. How far away are we from seeing universities employ student athletes? How does that impact the collectives that have been started? Mark Edelman, a lawman, an individual of credibility in this realm, will join us next to discuss this. This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.